I'm Gray.
And I'm Andy.
I will, Fred Dwight.
I guess so.
And like most friends, we try to influence our child's taste.
And like most friends, sometimes that influence is for something we love, and sometimes it's for something horrible and terrible.
That's what you're about to hear. Just load the horn out.
Hey, Brinky.
Yes.
How many My Little Ponies are needed to change the light bulb?
How many?
All of them. One will change the light bulb, while the rest will cheer him on about how great he is.
He?
That's what it says.
Okay.
Hey, why are there so few My Little Ponies?
Why?
Because they're just friends. How many bronies does it take to screw in a light bulb?
How many?
Just one, but it'll be a little bit before he admits it.
Well, that's not very funny.
Okay, I'm done.
Oh, okay, we're good?
Yep.
All right, so the title of today's episode is Bronies, as you would suspect, and not because we're trying to be bronies, but we are going to look into things that are meant for children that adults glom onto, and we're looking at it through a lens of My Little Pony, and also a few other things, Adventure Time, Muppets, other things we think of as we go along. But I think we're going to get into kind of a pony mindset, and since Tycho refused to pick a pony name, I made one for him. I decided that
Lord,
you're going to...
Brinky, why?
Well, first of all, instead of Brinky, I need you to call me Brinky Pie.
Nope.
No?
Not going to do it.
And for you, I've picked the name Quick Ire. I think it's appropriate. So,
nope.
Because...
we'll not respond to that name.
Will... Or won't you? So...
Will not.
This is actually an interesting first for us, because we are going to be bringing on guests for the first time, kind of. We did some interviews. We decided to convene a panel of little girls to talk about My Little Pony with. And so it was easy for me to find little girls. I live in a house full of little girls. So I interviewed my two oldest daughters, Andrea and Gray, who are 8 and 6. Tycho, you had to go to a playground and kidnap a child to talk to.
Yes, I did. I am now... Skyping in from an undisclosed location. It is a table. I'm under a table at Denny's. There is room under here for me and Edward Snowden and his secrets.
And the little kid that you kidnapped.
And the two little kids that I kidnapped.
Two? Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know.
Well, the first one died, so you had to go back for another one.
It's control, because like if the one kid tries to run away, I'll just say, if you run away, I'll kill the other kid. See, it's... It's all psychological.
Oh, smart.
They're sisters.
Oh, God, I need to go check the bedrooms. You kidnapped my children, didn't you?
So, no, I didn't. No, these are two other sisters.
So throughout this episode, we'll be sprinkling in little bits of the interviews we did. We'll try not to overdo it because, I mean, kids are cute, but come on. Specifically, we're talking about My Little Pony. And do you know what that is?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's a show with ponies and six friends.
Okay, six friends. And what do the friends do?
One of them clears clouds out of the sky.
Okay. That's the whole show, is cloud clearing. That's all that happens?
No.
And so we're gonna be talking about My Little Pony. You did watch a few episodes, is that right?
About a year or so ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So this isn't too recent.
Like, not recently, no.
But when you tell me the story about it, you were telling me that independent of this assignment and this podcast, you were trying to figure out what the bronies saw in the show.
Yes, I was over at my friend Rowan's house, and her daughter was watching.
Who is actually who you talked to, not the kidnapped
yes.
child?
Yes. Yeah.
In case anybody didn't figure out that we were joshing.
I babysit Rowan's kid 2 to 3 times a week, and it was this past week that I interviewed her about it. So she was sitting there watching it, and I was just kind of watching it as well. And Rowan looks over at me and she goes, "You're watching this pretty intently. You're not a brony, are you?" And I said, "No, I'm not a brony. I am watching this for two reasons. One, I am trying to see what the brony subculture sees in this show, and I might add, failing. And the second reason is because I would like to see the pony colloquially known as Dr. Hooves, because he has crazy brown hair, and he's got a brown coat, and he's got an hourglass thingy on his back. And I said all that, I said the hourglass thingy on his back, and Monkey leans over and looks at me, and she goes, "It's called a cutie mark, Tycho." And I was really kind of proud of her for that moment of geek rage.
You've been raising her well.
I haven't been raising her at all, but...
But being a man who will take care of a little girl, maybe you can relate to this quote that I found. And this is from a guy who writes for Wired Magazine. He goes by Geek Dad. His name is Matt Morgan. And he says that My Little Pony is one of the few girl-focused shows that a geeky dad can appreciate with his daughter. Were you appreciating it with Monkey?
No. I didn't see anything special about it. It was a kid's show that was aimed at little girls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the characters on it are girls. They're all doing cutesy little things, and I mean, it wasn't very clever writing. It was like I knew about a quarter of the way through the episode how it was going to end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it wasn't even like. I was like, this is, you know, so if you're a little kid who's never seen any of those tropes before, you're like, oh, that'll, I mean, that's it right there, you know. But, you know, when you're like an adult, you're like, okay, I know exactly what's going to happen, and it didn't deviate one iota from where I thought it was going to go. And I was like, so it's not anything special, it's not anything clever, it wasn't particularly good, and I was like, I don't get it.
Yeah, this is a show that's aimed at girls age 2 to 11. It is the next generation of a series of shows that started in the 80s and continued on through the 90s. There's been a few different iterations of this. Started out as a toy, made a show from it. This show is meant to be slightly edgier than the ones in the 80s and 90s. Still meant for children. However, it has taken on an adult following, which is... what brony means. This is a teen or older who likes My Little Pony, usually understood to be men. This is the definition that I found on Urban Dictionary. Brony is a name typically given to the male viewers or fans, whether they are straight, gay, bisexual, etc., of the My Little Pony show or franchise. They typically do not give in to the hype that males aren't allowed to enjoy things that may be intended for females. Does that sound about right?
Yes.
And so trying to figure out the appeal of My Little Pony and also the appeal of the brony subculture, I found a friend of mine from high school, and his name is Jacob, and we are friends on Facebook. He wrote something for me. He is a recovering brony. He likes the show. He just does not want to be associated with being a brony. And so what he wrote was, "I actually think it's a bit silly to consider these adult fan bases movements. For me, that's not what it was, and that's actually part of why I don't associate with much of the brony culture anymore. I was introduced to My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic by my little sister. When I watched the pilot episode, I was actually really intrigued by the social structure of Equestria, which is...
No. Okay. Look, that's not... No. Okay. That's not what... Okay. Continue. I'll save my thoughts.
As well as its apparent solar religion. Most of the episodes were really well written, with strong character development for each of the, this is in quotes, main six, and several supporting characters. Each episode explores important issues such as race, bullying, ethics, respect, etc., and is punctuated with a moral, but they usually come off as appropriate and not cliche. The show teaches that everyone has some special aptitude and encourages us to be true to that calling and to take heart if we haven't figured out the way. It's good literature, and these are ideas for people of all ages, sexes, races, and religions. The show is smart, and unlike shows that equate smart with uncool, the bookish character, which is you, Tycho, Twilight Sparkle, the bookish character is the main character. She has lots of friends in spite of her social anxiety and introverted nature. Even the sportiest character on the show, Rainbow Dash, becomes addicted to reading. And this is what he found the most appealing about the show. He went to the University of North Texas with me, which is known to be a music school. So he is very into music and music theory. So what he says is, something that was important to me is that the music is smart. The score and the songs are well written and are woven beautifully with the story. Often there are hidden musical references. There's an episode where a character, Princess Cadence, has been kidnapped and is being impersonated by a shapeshifter. Daniel Ingram, the show's soundtrack composer, intentionally used a musical device whose technical name is Deceptive Cadence at key moments in the episode's score, when the fraudulent princess was singing. And it was that kind of clever stuff that I loved about the show. I watched pretty faithfully through season three, and around that point I became aware of the unsavory side of the brony culture, particularly online. It seemed to me that there's a whole lot of outspoken, fedorid, neck-bearded, nice guy MRAs who are very brave indeed to enjoy an animated series written for girls and their parents. The show was wonderful. Parts of the culture that grew up around enjoying the show were not completely wonderful. So that is.
So it sounds like what he's saying is he enjoyed it because it delivered a good message.
He liked the message. He liked the characters. He liked the music. He did not like the fan base.
Okay, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with, you know, putting a good message out there for kids.
Yes.
That's, you know, that's great. And whatever gets kids to read is great. I am all for anything that tells you that reading is okay and encourages you to read. That's great.
Okay.
And if you're a girl, ages 2 to 11, you know, all of that stuff is... all that stuff is interesting, you know? All of that stuff about friendship and working together and, you know, regardless of what kind of person you are, you can be friends with anybody else. That's all a good message, okay? What my point is, and I don't have a problem with any of that. I don't have a problem with My Little Pony Friendship is Magic on the whole being watched by little girls. That's fine. If they want to watch it, good, go. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think it's a good show for little girls. My problem is when guys my age watch it.
Right.
And then they try to rationalize it by saying, well, look at the class structure. Like, no, there's no class structure. There is not. No. Shut up.
And isn't there like one pony that like rules them all?
Mm-hmm.
One pony to bind them?
Mm-hmm.
One pony to bring them all and in the darkness bind them?
Uh-huh.
In the land of Mordor where the shadows lie?
Mm-hmm.
She's all, yep, yep, yep. who is the pony, the one pony to rule them all?
Princess Celestia.
Princess Celestia.
But it's all about, it's all ethics and, you know, the thing. I'm not saying he's wrong, and if he's seeing something there that I've not seen because I've only seen like two or three episodes, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Class structure, and like the whole thing about musical cadence and deceptive cadence and all that, that's
interesting to me. It's good to know.
That is interesting, and when I heard that, I was like, that is really clever. Please tell me, Brinky, how many people outside of musical theory students are going to get that?
I don't know. It's not something I
exactly got.
I don't even know that I saw that episode, so.
It's like, see, the thing about Looney Tunes, okay, the Looney Tunes cartoons,
yeah,
is that on the ground level, on the base level, they're for kids, okay?
Yes.
They're, you know, Bugs Bunny outsmarts Elmer Fudd or Daffy Duck or whoever it is, or Marvin Martian or whoever it is he's outsmarting this time. Okay, Marvin Martian, by the way, the greatest Looney Tunes character ever. But he does it in these silly ways that kids are like, ah, look at that, he's, oh, Marvin Martian got flattened and now he's just a helmet with feet. Ah, it's funny. But adults watch it, right? And they're like, and they get these jokes that are on a whole other level.
There are lots of old references that nobody under the age of 10 is going to get.
Right.
Or,
yeah, and I mean, and there are, and there, and like a lot of the references to like old, like they'll make references to, you know, old Hollywood actors.
Yes.
You know, because they were, because these cartoons were written and made in the 50s and 60s.
Right.
And so they'll make references to those, and even I, as a kid watching it, realized that's a reference to an old actor. I don't necessarily know who the actor is, but You know, I get the reference. I understand what it is. You know, and there was one time there was a joke that I didn't even get until I was about 14 or 15, and I had to ask my dad about it because there's a scene where Bugs Bunny is being chased by Yosemite Sam, and Bugs Bunny, and they go up to the top of this high diving board, and Bugs Bunny sets up just a door on it, just sets up a door with a door frame, and Yosemite Sam runs up and goes, bang 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 bang, open up this door, open up this door, and then turns to the audience and he goes, you'll notice I didn't say Richard, and I'm like, exactly right. Brinky just gave me, Zoe, you're not Zoe, Brinky just gave me this really weird look. She was like, what? And I was like, exactly, because I didn't get it either until I asked my dad. And I was like, what? And my dad said, that is a topical reference. At the time, there was a song that opened up with bang, 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 bang. Open up this door! Oh, Richard, open up the door! And I was like,
I've got to find this song.
I guess, yeah, I don't know. I've never heard it. I don't know anything about it, but...
But your dad has, which is good, because otherwise you'd still be wondering.
He was able to explain it to me, so... Yeah. So
I think there are a lot of...
Looney Tunes works on that level. But you can't say, oh, it's for adults, too, because this whole deceptive cadence thing. See, it's for adults. It's like, no, it's not. That's a musical theory joke that only musical theory nerds, which comprise about 2% of the world, will get.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a lowball number. I don't know. I'm sorry if I'm offending you and you're a musical theory person, but...
It's just you and me, and neither one of us are, so it's okay.
What'd you say?
I said, it's just you and me, and neither one of us knows dick about music. So
right.
I think there are a lot of things that are meant for kids where they will stick in things as Easter eggs for grown-ups. And what comes to mind is the Muppets. And I watched a lot of Sesame Street growing up, and I think they even still do this. They use actors that the kids aren't going to recognize. They use references that the kids aren't going to recognize. Before we got started, I sent you something recent where Benedict Cumberbatch, our old friend, was on an episode of Sesame Street.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about numbers, I guess. He was solving a mystery, and the mystery was whether 4 is bigger than 3. It's very simple, but...
A Sesame Street mystery.
Yeah, well, sure. But...
Oh my God, can we get that show? Sesame Street Mysteries? That would be amazing.
But kids don't know who Benedict Cumberbatch is.
And you know what? I'm sorry. Can I go back real quick? Benedict Cumberbatch? Okay. Where was Sherlock Hemlock?
Oh my God.
Why wasn't Sherlock Hemlock in that?
Oh my God.
Why wasn't Sherlock Hemlock in that?
Well, clearly they didn't call us before making this, so.
Obviously not.
Yeah, I know.
Can I go ahead and tell you I would love to work as a Muppeteer?
Wouldn't
that
be great?
I would love that job.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I thought I was riding your coattails in podcast success, but if you're working as a Muppet, I'm just going to follow, or Muppeteer, not as a Muppet. You could, I mean, we've discussed your appearance, but.
I am fairly Muppety with my derpy underbitey face.
But yeah, if you're working as a Muppeteer, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. But okay. I think there's a lot of references that are stuffed into Sesame Street and the other Muppet works as well, the non-Sesame Street ones. And so I think that is something that adults can enjoy, and it's meant to be that way. It's family friendly, but it's got a level of understanding that kids are not going to tap into, and everybody knows that. I have not picked up anything like that from My Little Pony. We also each watched an episode of Adventure Time. I didn't get that from Adventure Time either. Adventure Time is a show that's got a big adult following as well these days.
Yep. And from the episode I watched, I have no idea why.
So Andy, tell me about that show.
Well, it's a little boy and his friend. I'm just going to call it a dog. Okay, it's Yellow. Yellow.
Do you know their names?
Not really.
You didn't catch their names at all?
Yeah.
So the boy is Finn.
Finn.
And the dog is Jake.
I don't think he's a dog.
What do you think he is?
He kind of has a mustache thing.
He has a mustache?
Yeah, kind of thing.
Okay. So it's... But he's some sort of animal.
Yeah.
And he's some sort of creature.
Yeah, but I'm just going to call him Doug.
Uh-huh.
Like we watched an episode called Her Parents where the dog, whose name
Jake.
I don't remember, Jake, thank you, is supposed to meet his girlfriend's parents, and his girlfriend is a rainbow corn? Is that what they're called? Like a unicorn?
Rainicorn, I think is what they were calling her.
Okay. It was, see, people out there are screaming at us right now.
Yeah, sure. But
they're,
I mean,
called Rainicorns!
It's basically a mixture of the dog from Neverending Story and a unicorn. No,
and a rainbow.
And a rainbow. It's kind of got this shapeless worm-like body that kind of floats and like a unicorn's head.
And the dog is dating one, and he's worried about meeting her parents because apparently dogs and rainicorns have been in a war for years and years and years. So he's worried about meeting
some
her
political
parents
because, reason.
Yeah, because reasons.
I mean, because reasons.
Because he's afraid her parents aren't going to like him because he's a dog. And so they come up with this weird idea to paint each other rainbow colors using condiments from the fridge or something, like some I Love Lucy kind of thing. And then the parents come over, and the parents have these weird speaker boxes, like their tracheotomy patients.
Like, guess what?
What?
The ponies are like, wah!
That's because unicorn didn't talk in words, did it? But when the dog was talking to her, he understood what she was saying.
Okay.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
You think dogs and unicorns understand each other?
No.
There is a rainicorn in the pilot episode, which I also watched, and you didn't. But in that, the rainicorn is not speaking English, and so it's a translator box, I would assume. I'm guessing it's more like Doug from Up.
Okay.
I don't think they've got tracheotomies.
And then they, like, hijinks ensue, and then at the end they find out that rainicorns actually eat people, but they don't eat people, it's just a tofu substitute or something, and then they, like, all eat the tofu substitute, and I'm like, what is going on? And then it ended, and I was like, what was that?
Well, maybe this is a good time to bring in the question of ironic love. What of these... Because there's a lot of kids things.
I don't understand ironic love.
Sure.
I don't get it. Can you explain to me what the appeal of ironic love is? Like,
well,
like,
so
ironic love is, I don't really like this, but I'm going to watch it and I'm going to say I love it because I don't really love it. And it's like, what?
I think there are people.
Why would you watch it if you don't like it?
I think there are people
who... Just don't watch it.
I think there are people who like the attention that they get from liking something weird. And... I don't know if I've told...
There are so many other things that you can get attention for. You don't have to go out and... Okay.
Well,
I don't understand why you would watch something you don't like.
So who do you think likes this show? What kind of people is this show for?
Babies.
Babies? What kind of... Like, how old?
Three.
Three? Well, I think you have to be a little older to understand it. Did you like it?
Kinda.
Uh-huh. Would you watch more of it?
I don't know.
If I had more of them, would you watch them?
Sure.
Yeah? I mean, you don't seem very excited about it. Did you think it was boring, or did you think it was interesting?
It was kinda interesting.
Mm-hmm. Is it your new favorite show?
Kinda.
Is it better than My Little Pony? Why not? How is it different from My Little Pony?
There's not really a bunch of ponies.
We've talked about Max Fun before, and so the proprietor of Max Fun is Jesse Thorne, and he has popularized the term new sincerity. New sincerity is meant to be the opposite of hipster irony. It's been around for a while, but he has popularized it in the modern day. And actually, this phrase shows up in the Wikipedia page for My Little Pony. And so I struggle to figure out whether or not a love for My Little Pony, as well as Adventure Time, is meant to be hipster irony or whether it's meant to be new sincerity. Is it meant to be something you love and you're not going to apologize for? Or is it meant to be something that you like but realize it's not all that great and you kind of delight in it because it's weird for you to like it?
What do you think about guys my age watching My Little Pony?
I don't even know what that is.
Okay, so like, if I was like super into My Little Pony, okay, like I knew all about it, would that be weird for you?
No.
No? Would it be, you wouldn't think it was weird if a guy liked My Little Pony because it's such a distinctly little girl thing?
Yeah.
You would think it was a little bit weird?
Yeah.
Yeah?
can I tell you about my introduction to bronies?
Yes. Do you know any?
No, I don't know any. And if I did, I would excise them from my life.
So you don't know anymore. Because you've been
still alive to me.
Because you've been reading so much Poe that you did a cask of Amontillado with all the bronies in
right,
your life.
Yeah, all the bronies in my life I bricked up in a wall. I knew about bronies. I knew that they were a thing. I had never encountered any. I did not understand. Like, I had underestimated the fervor with which. I thought it was just guys who sat there and watched it and were like, yeah, this is pretty cool. But they didn't actually, like, do
wear the stuff. T-shirts, go to the cons.
Right.
Remix
and
the
so,
music.
And so I am a fan of Slenderman and
okay.
various YouTube horror series that revolve around Slenderman. And one of them that I watch is Marble Hornets, which I'm going to introduce to you at a later date. I would like to also introduce you to Tribe 12, which is the other really good Slenderman series. Like in the fandom, Marble Hornets and Tribe 12 are the two best ones, and they're both really good.
Are they in opposition? Are they enemies?
No.
Okay.
No, they're mutually exclusive, and I mean I like both of them pretty much equally. So.
Okay.
Excuse me. Sorry. So while I was looking over a forum for an internet forum about the Tribe 12 series and just kind of reading various things about it, they were sitting there talking about their most recent entry. The conversation was firmly on track with Tribe 12 and the various happenings of the series. And then one person, all they did was just say, I'm excited to see the new entry. I'm also excited about MLPFIM starting up on Sunday. And the whole thread just went, and everybody started talking about My Little Pony. And I was like, what is happening? And everybody was like, I didn't know you were a brony brohoof. And I was like, what? And everybody was like, I'm so excited about it. I don't understand why every pony isn't watching this show. And I was like, what? And they were talking about it, and they were using the lingo, and they were talking about these characters like they were real people, and I was like, what is going on? This is a Slenderman forum. Why are you talking about My Little Pony?
What do you call a fan of of Slenderman? Slendies?
Fan of Slenderman? I don't know. Just, we don't really have... They don't... We... Wow.
yeah. Are you going to SlenderCon this year?
First of all, it is perfectly acceptable for a guy my age to be a fan of Slenderman, okay?
And to
all
attend SlenderCon.
Because I've never been to SlenderCon.
Is this a real thing? I'm sorry. I was just making sure.
I don't know if there's a SlenderCon. I thought you were mentioning like it was a real thing.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't go to any cons.
Next episode, join us when we go to SlenderCon.
Nope.
No.
I keep away from large crowds of people as much as possible.
It's too scary.
It's not scary. People suck.
No,
I don't want to be around people any more than I have to.
It's scary to go to SlenderCon.
But so they were just sitting there talking about it, going on and on and on, and I was like, "What is going on?" And I was actually like, "I can't read this anymore. I'm sorry. I have to. I'll come back when you're talking about Tribe 12 again because I'm out." I for a little while was in contact with a girl who liked what she saw in one of my internet dating profiles. And we were talking back and forth for a little bit. And she was like, you should come over to my house. And I was like, okay. And she was like, yeah, you can dress as, cause you're a fan of Doctor Who, right? And I was like, yeah. I said, yeah. And she's like, you can dress as Doctor Who and I'll dress as Pinkie Pie and we'll sit and watch My Little Pony and Doctor Who. And I was like, nope, we're done. I was like, nope. She was like, I'm totally a brony. I'm like, you can't be a brony. You're a girl. And she's like, it's okay. We're bronies. I'm like, nope, you're not.
I found mixed opinions about that. A lot of people do refer to the females as bronies as well. Or they're referred to as a Pegasus, cis being sister, Pegasus.
Yeah, Pegasus is fine. I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Don't call yourself, if you're a girl, don't call yourself a brony. And first of all, if you're a girl, just say you're a fan of My Little Pony.
True.
It's okay for you. You're a girl.
It is, yeah. It is meant to be for girls. So everything I know about bronies is coming from this documentary that I watched on Netflix called Bronies, The Extremely Unexpected Adult Fans of My Little Pony. So I was watching this documentary and I was trying to figure out the difference, you know, between the ironic love and the new sincerity. And one of the voice actors did say that he didn't think the fan base's love was ironic, but there was another guy who was talking about his car, and he was he proudly said, "I get a lot of weird looks." So that makes me believe that maybe he likes people thinking that he's weird. And maybe that feeds into his love for My Little Pony. The documentary also shows a German couple who went to a pony meetup and fell in love. And they were engaged by the end of the documentary. It shows the guy meeting her stepfather for the first time. And he's speaking in English, but it's pretty broken. And what he ends up saying is, two crazy persons found each other. Which I think is very sweet, I guess. Let's get two crazy people off the market. Yeah, so the documentary was about several bronies worldwide. They did show a guy who was in Israel, a guy who was in England, several in the United States. And they all end up at the end going to BronyCon, which is a big convention. And pretty much the only celebrity there who has become the celebrity face of bronyism is John DeLancey. Do you know who this is?
He was Q, wasn't he, on Star Trek?
Yes, yes. He does a voice in My Little Pony Friendship is Magic.
Mm-hmm.
And so he brings a little bit of nerd cred to the franchise, and now he's become the celebrity face of this, and he's kind of into it. Like, he doesn't mind bronies. He's pretty supportive. But yeah, he is the only big celebrity at the con.
Okay. For a given value of big celebrity. I mean, it's John DeLancey, you know. Name something else he's done.
Well, he ran into there was a Dallas Comic-Con, which my brother works at Comic-Cons, and my brother ran into him in the restroom. So there you go. It's a third party celebrity sighting story. He did not give him a bro hoof. So I'm sorry.
I had when my parents were in town the last time they were here, it was the time before last. We were sitting around the kitchen table playing a game or something, and I had to explain what a brony was to my dad.
When you got to the end of your explanation, did he suspect that you were one?
No.
No?
No.
Because there's quite a bit of that in this movie.
I made it very clear that I was not a brony.
There are people who are embarrassed to tell their parents. And at one point, he kind of has a coming out of confessing his ponyism to his mother after this kid has gone to great lengths to try and hide where he's going when he buys tickets to Comic-Con, BronyCon. Even though he needs the money for the tickets, he needs to figure out transportation. He kind of needs to let his mom in on what he's doing. So he has to have a coming out as a brony to his mother. And when you say coming out, obviously I'm referring to homosexuality, and that's kind of something that colors people's understanding of bronies. Not only the idea that they're pedophiles or that they're socially inept, but that they're gay. One of the guys...
I never thought that. It was always my understanding that bronies are... that bronies are guys who you would not expect to like the show who like the show, you know. So like in the whole, and I'm not throwing shade on any gay guys or anything, but like, if you're going to pick a guy who's going to, you know, who'd be interested in watching My Little Pony, it'd be a gay guy, you know. You wouldn't expect like some like, I don't want to say jock guy, but like, you know, just some
very masculine.
Yeah, like a masculine guy who's like, yeah, My Little Pony, and it's like,
well, My Little Pony actually is a thing. There is a guy who posts videos on YouTube called the Manliest Brony in the World, and he is a very masculine guy. He's got a big beard. I didn't look up any of these videos, but they did play clips of them during the documentary. So you're saying that this is something more likely to be associated with.
So when I hear the term brony, that's what I think. I don't ever think gay guy. I don't ever think younger guy. I think a guy my age, I'm not going to say my sense of, I almost said my sensibilities, but it's not someone with my sensibilities, because if you had my
obviously not,
you wouldn't be watching My Little Pony. it's like, I think like a guy my age with my kind of lifestyle, and it's like, why? What? Okay, whatever. So that.
Yeah, during the documentary, one of the character who gets the weird looks for his car, he has stickers on the back of the characters, and his car gets attacked because he's being perceived to be gay because he lives in kind of a southern small town, so. And even his friends don't understand why he's so open about it, because that's just going to encourage that kind of behavior, they say.
Yeah.
So that's an issue that they try to delve into during this documentary, is the idea of the hyper-masculine stereotype, like you were talking about. Should a guy be like that, or can a guy be gentle, sensitive, not weak, but can they value things like qualities like caring and generosity that are espoused in the show?
I like all of that stuff that you just said is stuff that I value, and it's stuff that's important to me. You know, I try to be nice to people, despite what my persona on here is.
So what little girl show do you use to espouse these values?
I don't. I was raised to be nice to people.
So you think there's a way to be gentle and sensitive and caring without having to like Little Pink Ponies?
I've been doing it for 33 years, Brinky.
Yeah, yell at me some more. That'll convince everybody. No, I believe you.
Oh, that's why you keep questioning me. Okay. You know what? I have all those values. I think they're important to have, and I try to, you know, even as much as I rant about stupid shit and as much as I hate a lot of stuff that is out there in the world and as much as I hate people, I try to be nice and generous, and I try to, you know, help out anybody who needs help, and I try to, you know, do things that a decent human being should do, you know, but not because I watched My Little Pony was like, oh, I should totally be like these ponies. It's because that's the way you should be as a human being. You shouldn't need a cartoon to tell you that.
So you don't think that these guys are watching and actually learning things, so that maybe the lessons shown,
you know, what would be awesome? I would love, can we get an episode of My Little Pony where people are like, you should really only like things that are for your demographic. If you're a grown-up, you shouldn't be liking stuff that's meant for little girls.
Except that the creators of this are...
Can I go ahead and say, I would love to see what that would do to the bronies. I would love the hell out of that.
I would love to pick up those shattered pieces. No, the creators of the show are kind of into it.
Well, yeah, because it gets people to watch it. It gets them that.
Gets them to keep signing on to more seasons and buy and, their shit.
And it keeps them employed.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know what? These guys are our support base. Power to the bronies.
There's so much merchandise that goes with this kind of thing, too. You know, there's not just the show, and there's not just the movie, which I guess we could talk about the movie after a while, but... there was a comic book, there's toys and things.
And bronies will buy that. And bronies, by the way, are the ones who can afford to buy it. True. Little girls 2 to 11 have to be like, hey, mommy, can we get this? No. Mommy, can we get this? No. And then they have to wait for, like, Christmas or the birthday. But bronies are just like, I'll take this and this and this and this and this. So, yeah, if you're in charge of the show, of course you're going to want to be with the bronies. You're on the side of the bronies. You're getting, give me that money. If I, man, let me tell you what. If I was in charge of that show, I wouldn't be doing this episode. I'd be like, bronies are awesome. Power to the bronies. I'm a brony. I'd lie. I would lie straight to you and say, I'm a brony. Bronies, go out and spend money. Because that money comes back to me. Yeah, of course I'd
that's
be doing that.
Sweet, sweet pony money.
That's right. Give me that pony dough. That donny. Give me that donny. I don't know.
Well, so, money and pony are very similar words. Yet you went with dough and donny.
Shut up. Yeah, I'd be doing that. Of course
I'd
be doing
that. Well, speaking of words that are similar... The thing that drives me crazy about this show, and the thing that turns me off as a grown-up who can make decisions about what kind of media I want to take in, is the puns. And dear God, so many puns. Oh my God.
And it all takes place where?
In Canterlot.
Okay. I did not know that.
When they say everybody, they say every pony. Now, I know these ponies don't really resemble what actual horses look like, but I'm still under the impression that ponies and horses have bodies. So I don't see what's wrong with just saying everybody. It's not human specific to say the phrase everybody.
Torsi the torso horse, touch him and you just got true.
Yes, but even Torsi the torso horse has a body. He has
that's
a torso.
That's true. Yeah, that's all he's got is a body.
Yeah, every pony loves Torsi the torso horse. So there was that. When I was reading Jacob's statement, I did
let's
put
not
quotes.
Explain, let's not explain to anybody at all what that's about.
They absolutely not. So okay. When I was reading Jacob's statement, I put he had mane. In quotes, and I explained that the quotes were there. Mane, M-A-N-E, is how they refer to the six main characters in the show. They're the main characters. Get it? Because they're horses. Why do you have to do that? Like, it's pronounced the same way. Just say main. You don't have to change the spell. Oh, God. So many fucking puns about horses. Horse puns. I can't take it. See, being that I'm a mother of so many little girls, I get to take in a lot of little girls' media. And the thing that I'm comparing this mentally to is something else that one of my girls is into, and that is Monster High. Monster High is another show that has been based on a toy line. It's got females as the main characters. And it also has a theme that is so pervasive that you can't get away from so many goddamn puns. Horse puns for My Little Pony, monster and, you know, haunted house kind of puns for Monster High. I did try to read to her from a Monster High book once, and God, this thing, you couldn't even parse it because the puns were so, so bad. Instead of saying cafeteria, they would say creepeteria. Like, for a kid
who... That's not even a pun. That's not even a pun.
It's not even a pun. It's just kind of a word with another word. It's not even really a portmanteau. It's another word stuffed into another word and hoping that it'll be clever. And it's not.
See, why wouldn't they call it a cafeteria?
Oh, so see? I guess if your job as a Muppeteer doesn't work out, we'll hire you out.
I can go right for Monster High.
But even that still makes it kind of difficult to read the word and figure out what they're saying. Because 8-year-olds are not the best readers. I mean, she does okay. But when you're reading a chapter book where half of the words are made-up monster-like words... It is incredibly difficult. So, yeah, I think as far as between Monster High and My Little Pony, I would vote My Little Pony. But it's still got the same problem of too many puns. another thing about little girls' media that I kind of wanted to talk to you about is the idea of destiny. Now, Monster High doesn't do this quite as much, but My Little Pony definitely does. And the other one that comes to mind is Tinkerbell, the new line of Tinkerbell movies that have been coming out in recent years. Mm-hmm. So with My Little Pony, you have cutie marks.
Son, what is a cutie mark?
Something that they're really good at.
Okay, so if I so if I had a cutie mark of a Rubik's cube, that would mean I'm really good at doing Rubik's cubes?
Yes.
If I had a cutie mark of a little Lego block, that would mean I'm really good at Legos?
Yes.
If I had a cutie mark of dice, that would mean I'm really good at Dungeons and Dragons?
Yes.
So when a pony gets to be a certain age, and I guess it's like teenagers, because I think the main six are supposed to be teens. They're supposed to be like 18 to 21 age-ish, kind of. They're not children, because there's another like age group of children ponies. Fillies and the other kind, colts. And when they get to be a certain age, they develop on their flank, on their butt, a cutie mark, which shows not only what they're good at, but basically kind of wraps up their entire personality.
Can I tangent off for a minute? Because you said on their butt, and this made me think of this fun little fact that I heard the other day that I didn't know until just like
about
a
horse butts?
Uh-huh. No.
No?
Pork butt that you buy at the grocery store.
Okay. What'd you call me?
I called you a pork butt. pork butt that you buy at the grocery store. It's labeled pork butt.
Yes.
It's not butt. It's like the front shoulder.
Oh.
Did you know that?
You know, my father is a butcher, and so I should know that. I don't know. I've never really paid attention.
Rump roast is the actual rump, but pork butt is not pork butt. It is the shoulder. And I was like, why wouldn't you just call it pork shoulder? And
I thought pork shoulder was also a thing.
I guess. I don't know. So pork butt is the front, like, shoulder. And I'm like, what? So, fun fact for everybody out there who didn't know, pork butt, not a butt.
I was talking about the kind of communist idea that you, in these little girls' things of destiny, whether it's kind of charming and kind of fits into their magical world, to say that you are good at this, therefore you must do it, and here's the rest of your life, get going. Or if it's kind of limiting and depressing. In the world of Tinkerbell, the reason she's Tinkerbell is she's a tinker, which is a class. They discuss class, I guess, is a group that are good at fixing and building things. And so her name is Belle, but she is a tinker. That is her designation. She is Tinkerbell.
She's a person who travels from place to place mending metal utensils as a way of making a living.
She does repairs and builds things, yes. But you've also got the water fairies who are able to do shit with water. Animal fairies who are able to talk to animals. And My Little Pony has similar stuff. You get your cutie mark. That's what you're good at. That's who you are now. What do you think? Is this a good message to be given little girls or no? Or is it even a message? Am I reading too much into it because I'm a grown up?
I would put forth that if it is something you're good at, it is also something that you enjoy.
Yes.
And thus having that as your like people always say, if you want to have like the greatest job ever, do something that you enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so if it's something they enjoy doing, and their cutie mark says, hey, this is what you should be doing, awesome, go for it. I wish somebody would come to me and say, hey, here's what you should be doing. Go, you'll enjoy this.
Someone should brand you on your ass.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I should have a cutie mark. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it would be nice to know what it is I'm meant to do.
Then you should probably go live in one of these magical fairy worlds of little girls' media, because
too bad they don't freaking exist.
They don't freaking exist, because then one out of every six people would have a heavy Southern accent. And this is what I'm finding in every...
You know what? I live in Georgia.
And where one out of every six people has a southern accent.
Yeah.
When you've got a...
I'm like, looking for oil lamps.
Say what?
Oil. Oil. This guy came up the other day, said he was looking for something. I had no idea what he was talking about because I couldn't understand him. I'm looking for oil lamps. Floor lamps? Yeah, I'm looking for some floor lamps. Well, we've got our floor lamps are over here. No, he said he's looking for oil lamps. What? I'm looking for oil lamps. Oil, like you put oil in them. Oil? Yeah, oh, oil. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you said floor lamps because you don't speak properly.
Walmart customer, you are dangerously southern.
I use that phrase, dangerously southern. Comes from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
I know.
Okay.
But it seems like in any of these shows that has six or so main characters, everyone's got a wacky accent. And My Little Pony, maybe not so much. I mean, their voices are different from each other, but there is one very southern character. And she's a farmer, and she grows apples. And you've got the same thing in Monster High and also in Tinkerbell. So, yeah, one out of six people has a heavy southern accent. Yeah, Monster High, everyone's got a wacky accent, and it drives me fucking bananas. I can't stand the terrible French accent, and also the terrible Transylvanian accent, and the terrible Russian accent, and the terrible... Oh...
It's one of them a terrible southern accent?
Hmm? And
is
also...
one of them a terrible southern accent?
Yes. Terrible southern accent as well. It's hard to bear. So, are you a brony now?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Do you have a greater understanding for bronies?
No.
Do you think they...
Like,
are you
like
going to let them like what they like, or do they need to cut it the fuck out?
I'm totally fine with everybody liking what they like as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else, no matter how stupid it is. If you're a brony and you like My Little Pony and that makes you happy, then go to it, and I'm glad you found your bliss.
So are you on board with it if it's only for new sincerity, or are you on board with it even for hipster irony?
If you legitimately like My Little Pony, you enjoy the writing, you think it's a good show, I'm not going to stand in your way. I'm not going to say, I mean, I'm going to think you're an idiot, but I'm not going to come out and say you're an idiot. I just, you know, it's fine if you like it. If you like it, that's fine. I like stupid stuff. I'll freely admit that. I'm looking at a bookshelf right now. It's a 5-shelf bookshelf. 4.5 of those books are Star Wars books. The Star Wars novels, the extended universe, are generally considered to not be very good. I enjoy them, and I've read every single one of them, and I will freely admit that. I have on the other bookshelf that's right next to it, I have like a bookshelf that is all Anne Rice books, even though I know that I'm not the target demographic for Anne Rice, but I've read all of her books.
Who's the target demographic? Like teenage girls, or?
I would argue older girls.
Okay.
You know, like
20s.
Women.
Okay. Older girls, like women.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, so
that's what they graduate to when they're done with My Little Pony.
I like the series of unfortunate events, you know, it's all, you know, so whatever you like is what you like. I'm fine. So if you legitimately, really sincerely like it, great.
Don't apologize for it.
I'm happy. Yeah. Don't apologize for it. If you like what you like, just own it. Just own it. If you are ironically liking it, why? Why are you liking something you don't really like? It doesn't make you cool. It makes now that makes you stupid. Of course I like that show because it's great. And it's like, no, if you don't like it, just don't watch it.
So like what you like, don't like what you don't like. Stick to your demographic, maybe, because you look like an idiot.
You know, it's your demographic. It's aimed at you. Are we done?
So, Tycho, we got some fan art. No, we didn't. I made it myself. But anyway, it's up on our Facebook.
I was about to say, is this like real fan art, or is this the fan art you were showing me the other night?
Yeah, right. It's I feel a little pathetic doing my own fan art, but it is what it is. So it's up on our Facebook. You can check out the logo that I drew. You can also check out Tycho and myself rendered perfectly in pony form. And you... And I am quite proud of the Tycho pony I created. It is exquisite. So there you go. So if it's our fans...
It's not a bad drawing of a pony.
Oh, I used a generator. If you guys want to make your ponies of yourself...
Oh, so you didn't actually draw it.
Oh,
never
God.
Mind. I take it back.
Yeah, don't compliment me too much. But I think
I'll
did pretty
back,
good.
Then.
And his cutie mark is a Rubik's Cube. So...
Thank you. Nobody could hear that, but I rolled my eyes.
Well, and it is every bit as derpy and underbitey as you would expect.
Thank you.
So if our fans want to give us a bro hoof, what should they do?
Die in a fire?
you would tell a brony fan of ours to go die in a fire.
No, I would not.
Uh-huh.
I would not accept a bro hoof. I would say give it its proper name and I will give it to you, but I will not give you a bro hoof.
What is... Oh, bumping?
It's either a fist bump or a high five, either one. I don't care. I'll give you either one. Don't call it a bro hoof.
Okay.
I will not bro hoof you back.
So if they want to show their appreciation in ways that are not bro hoofing.
They should PayPal me about $7,000.
Okay.
I think that'll do it. Just send in an email to loanholdouts@gmail.com because that's the one I check.
Oh.
And I will give you my PayPal information.
Okay. But if you prefer me and...
And why would you?
I'm not sure. Yeah. But if you prefer me, I guess...
You're the intellectual one. I'm the funny one.
Because we...
I haven't really done a whole lot this episode. It's
because we each have our destiny, right? You're destined to be the funny one, and I'm destined to be the smart one, and we can't escape that.
That's right. Our cutie marks are the comedy and tragedy mask. All right.
And that gets a little weird when we... never mind. Okay. So, but you could also email us at loanholdout@redcowentertainment.com.
Rate us, review us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, leave comments, crap like that.
Spread the word?
Sure.
Tell a friend?
Because that's.
Shame some bronies?
Oh, no, wait, before we leave, I wanted to do some old business.
Okay.
We talked about stuff before.
Yes, this is our 8th episode. We have talked about stuff before.
Yes. Have you... Okay, so going back to past episodes, have you watched any more of Duck Dynasty since we did that episode?
I have not, actually. And okay. I tried to
get
my father to listen to our show, and I said, the really good episodes are the ones that where we make fun of something dumb, like the Beyonce album or Duck Dynasty. And he goes, hey, I like Duck Dynasty. So I did not get a listen from him. He also doesn't know how an MP3 works. So,
okay.
It's too bad. Nobody legitimately interested in me will listen to the show. So it's up to you now to pimp this out because...
Okay.
Yeah. Can't get anybody.
Sherlock. So you've been watching Sherlock, though.
I have finished all that Netflix has available, which is only the first two series. I'll need to find the rest.
So what do you think of it so far?
I enjoyed it. The one that you really recommended to me heavily was the first in the second series. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed that one quite a bit. I couldn't have been more perfect. I was trying to text with you and I'm like, yeah, I could text the whole time. And I got too engrossed and couldn't. So I had to catch up with you after.
Okay.
It was
cool.
quite good.
Yay.
Let's go back to Did You Delete Candy Crush off of your iPod?
As soon as we were done recording, like, just, it was gone. And I haven't even thought about it or missed it or considered playing it again at all. It's not even a thing.
I've been playing a little. Every now and again. I went to go get my haircut and had to sit and wait, and I didn't have my phone. It was in the car, so I ended up playing a little Candy Crush then.
Okay. On the same grounds as Candy Crush, did you listen to or did you have you tried Flappy Bird?
I have seen Flappy Bird played and I watched a video of a tutorial. It was a comedy video where the guy ends up destroying his device after losing in the seventh level, the seventh tube. I mean, I've only seen it once, so it's hard to describe. And I know there are also hacks where you're not necessarily playing a bird, now you're playing a flying dog. So, yeah, I guess Flappy Bird is the new thing. We might have to try it.
Apparently the guy who created it took it down and it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, right.
So, okay. Well, I'm
it's got to be somewhere, I'm sure.
Have you listened to any more Beyonce?
Whenever it comes on the radio, I think of you.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I'm not sure why it is that you are in my mind coming to be known for terrible things. I hear Beyonce and I think of you, and I think of how much you hate broccoli. And so when I think of broccoli, I think of you. So,
Crack.
You're always on my mind because there's so much shit in the world.
Crack.com recently did an article on two artists who did songs together that don't work together. And one of the ones they talked about was Jay-Z and Beyonce's song from that album.
Okay.
And they specifically address the line about your breasts are my breakfast. Or
you'll have specifically, to show this to me.
Specifically address that. Okay, so that was Duck Dynasty, Sherlock, Beyonce, Red Letter Media. I have not watched any more Red Letter Media since.
I don't know that I have, but I'm so behind on YouTube and podcasts and everything else that it's part of a bigger problem. Not that I don't like them. But that was our most controversial episode because you got a lot of shade thrown on you for not liking them. Yes, well, because Four Bigot Opinion
oh my
is
God,
a reason
I have
to
an
be
opinion
frowned upon.
From everybody else.
I know.
And for the record,
you got it.
I didn't say I didn't like them. I said I did not like the way the information. I liked the information, and like I said, I loved all the points that were raised about Phantom Menace. I love the points that were raised about
Jack and Jill.
Jack and Jill, thank you. I just didn't like the way it was presented. Okay. Jonathan Colton, you asked me to send you some other songs, and I sent you a buttload of other songs. Have you listened to those songs yet?
I quite a few. I was doing some work yesterday, and I turned it on while I was working, so...
Did any of them strike you interestingly, or were you just like, these are dumb, I don't like them?
I haven't found a favorite yet. But I have been, the ones that I had listened to for our episode that I liked do get some play still.
I have subscribed and listened to Yeah Dude. I quite enjoy it. If I had the time and the energy and the patience, I would go back and download all 400 episodes and listen to all of them.
But as it is, I'll send you a few favorites.
Yeah, but I have neither the time for that nor the energy or the hard drive space for 400 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, so that was, so that's old business. Updates on how things we've been introduced to have gone. And I guess that is officially the end of the podcast.
Don't cook naked!
Don't cook naked!
Don't cook naked!
Are we done?
Yeah, I guess we're done. All right, are you done?
Yeah.
All right, say goodbye to everybody.
Bye!
Bye.
You did lure me into talking on Skype one day by promising to tell me about broccoli and bananas, and I fell for it.